at somebody here, Newcastle today, like a copy of God's word, his written word, an extract from the Bible, offered to you quite freely, no cost or obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. If you'd like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. Is God's word, of course, and able to impart the wisdom to you that leads to salvation. That is salvation from that which Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from. Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us, came into the world to save sinners such as you and I. If you'd like to have a copy of God's word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hand. Bible, of course, is God's promise of salvation to those, of course, those who repent of their sin, those who believe, put their trust in the Son of God. And these were written, the Bible that is, written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God, and shaking your head, sir, that does not alter, that does not change the truth, and does not, of course, change our vile natures, in which, of course, we are, God tells us, conceived in sin, that is, and born in it, live and die in it, but, of course, for the grace of God. But in the grace and kindness of God, He has provided us with a way out, a way of escape, provided us with a Savior, the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here today, this afternoon here in Newcastle. It's your privilege to hear the sound of the gospel, the joyful sound that Christ Jesus, even yet at this late stage in the world, and late stage for some of you in your lives, that you might come to a knowledge of God and of His salvation. To know God and to know Him whom He has sent, His Son Jesus Christ, that is His eternal life. So as I say, if you'd like to have a copy of God's word, read, digest, muse upon these things for yourself and see, who knows, maybe God switch the light on in your sin darkened mind and bring you into the light, His marvelous light, the knowledge of your sins forgiven, and the assurance, of course, of eternal life. The Bible says here, book of Psalms, to be blessed, happy, joyful, that is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Godly, that is, of course, they prosper. And God's word tells us, because, well, God has made them such. We are, when all said and done, as we come into the world, natural born sinners, ungodly, cut off, alienated from God, and of course not subject to the law of God. Cannot, no, not delight in it, far, far from it, but rather hate it, hating God, hating our neighbor, at enmity with God, and not subject to His law as we ought to be. Those commandments of God, grievous to you. Grievous to you. Why? Well, because of the ungodly state in which we come into the world. But the good news is, of course, that Christ died for the ungodly. That is, those who know that they are ungodly, those who know that they are alienated from God. Christ died for such, of course, in order to well, to deliver them from that state and condition. What does it mean to be ungodly? Well, to be contrary to God in your very nature, says God. Natural born sinners, a sinful nature, out of which comes nothing but hatred for God and hatred for your neighbor. And of course, well, that's writ large, is it not, over the entirety of your world, your nation today. Them that hate me, says God, they love death.
So
your world is full of killing, even your own nation, by means of abortion, euthanasia, drugs, violence. There's just no end to the hatred for your neighbor. Killing, killing, killing. Never done killing. But where does it come from? Your hatred for God and your hatred for your neighbor. That's what sin is and what you need delivering from. But that's the natural state and condition. Maybe perhaps in a quieter and reflective moment you wonder to yourself, well, where does all the evil, the wickedness that pervades the world today, even our own nation, where on earth does it all come from? Well, it's not how God made man in the beginning. The Bible tells us God made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions, inventing ways of sinning, rebelling against his Maker. It comes, you see, out of those sinful natures in which we were conceived and born. It's where it all comes from. All the wickedness, the uncleanness. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, Jesus tells us. Sexual immorality, blasphemy, the drunken, the killing, all of it. Coming out of the hearts of men and women, out of those sinful natures. That's why Jesus tells us, you see, that the very nature needs to be changed. Not enough to just stop doing things that are wrong, as if you could anyway, but you know, it's the nature that needs to be changed. Why Jesus says in another place, he says you must be born again. Not physically, but spiritually. God changing the nature, that is, putting his love into your heart and putting his life into your soul. Because until he does, until God performs this heart surgery, well, you remain as you were conceived and as you were born, in wickedness, in evil, pumping out of your heart continually, day by day. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. So until you change the heart, you get no change in the man or the woman. Contrary to God in your nature, you see. So you must, says Jesus, you must be born again. He said, a man be born again, he cannot see, he can't even get it, perceive it, understand it. So God switches the light on in your sin-darkened mind, regenerates, not makes religious. Religion doesn't do that for you. You can do that yourself, just join the mosque, the synagogue, the temple, you name it, the church. Becoming religious doesn't change a man's nature. Remains ungodly in his nature. So you must, as Jesus, accept a man, be born again. He cannot see, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. So to be ungodly, Christ died for the ungodly. Those who are contrary to God in their nature, but those who are contrary to God in their practice too. The law of God, like the psalmist says here, the law of God is not your delight, it's a grief to you. When God says in his commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, what do? You invite heathen religion into your country, and it fills and permeates your country now. God's many and Lord's many. Heathen religion, damnable religion. Law of God is not your delight, the very opposite. But that's what it means to be ungodly, to hate God's law, to be contrary to God's law in your practice, not just your nature. God says, thou shalt not kill. But what do you do? How many is it? Something like 12, 13 million unborn children slaughtered in the name of abortion. Now it's euthanasia. Now it's killing the elderly, the afflicted. And then, of course, well, everything else in between, all your drugs and violence, your wars, your fighting, family feuds, killing, killing, killing. God says, thou shalt not kill, because human life is God's to give, and it's God's to take away, not yours. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That covers, that commandment covers just about all the filth that you can imagine that's going on in your nation today, the fornicating, the sodomy, the lesbianism, all of it. Filth, uncleanness, an abomination to me, says God. So God says, thou shalt not, but you say, I shall. That's what it means to be contrary to God. That's what it means to be ungodly. And Christ died for the ungodly. But I tell you these things, why? To upset you? No. I mean, it should upset you, but not just for that. I tell you that you might be informed, that you might come to understand, you know, what kind of an ungodly person it is you are. How contrary to God you are. And that God might use that to convict you of your ungodly state. And that you might come to know that you are indeed ungodly. And that you might come to Christ, the one who died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. There's hope, you see, there's good news alongside the bad. But of course, well, it has to be believed. It has to be believed. You receive no benefit from God's word, lest you believe it. But God tells us the truth. You see, that's the reason why He's given us the Bible, to reveal Himself to us, to reveal yourself to you, in order that you might be mended, in order that you might be restored to God, to His favor, by His grace. In the grace and kindness of God, we have a Savior. He's provided us with a way back to Himself from the dark path of sin, from that ungodly state. By being born again, God operating through the preaching of the gospel, that which I'm doing here today, foolishness, the world says. Foolishness, many of you say. To those who are perishing, God says. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God to change their natures, change that ungodly state, and bring them to be godly men and women who indeed delight in the law of God. But ungodly, contrary to God in your nature, contrary to God in your practice, unless God changes the nature. You make the tree good, you make the root good, and you make the tree good. The root's the heart, you see, that's the problem. And by the fruits, of course, Jesus says, you shall know them. Now look at the fruit of a man or a woman's life, and you can tell straight away what they are. Ungodly, wretched, sinful. The kind of people that Jesus Christ, in the love of God, came into the world to save. That God, in His great mercy, no compulsion on God's part, could have left us all to perish, sent us all to hell, and did nothing at all, but out of His love, out of His grace and mercy, sent His only begotten Son into the world. For God so loved the world of believers, that is. God so loved the world that He gave up to the death of the cross His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, only those who believe, believers, those who believe the word of God, the truth of God, those who believe in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Sinners, lost, ruined, undone. But God has given us His word, the Bible, to reveal Himself to us what He is like. A God of wrath, a God who is angry with the wicked every day. Yes, because He's a perfectly moral being. And anyone, of course, who is a moral being, well, would be angry with wickedness, with sinners, every day, would they not? Do you not get angry sometimes when you read about wickedness, about the evil that men perpetrate in this world? Does it not make you cross and angry sometimes? Well then, does God not have the right, a perfect moral being? Does he not have the right to be angry? Of course he does. He's angry with the wicked every day. But he has done something. He has done something wonderfully and wonderfully well to take away, to placate that anger that lies upon you and towards you. My Bible tells me that God's wrath, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven even now against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. I'm not telling you something you don't know. There's a God, you know that. I don't need to tell you that. I won't even begin to argue with you about that. Every man, woman, and child born into this world knows that God is. You know that you're a morally accountable creature. You have a conscience within you that testifies with me on my behalf here today. A conscience that tells you, approves of you when you do right and disapproves when you do wrong. Oh, you know you're a morally accountable creature. One day you'll give account to God. So away with your nonsense about atheism. That just does not hold water. You know that God is. The problem is not that you don't know that there's a God. The problem is you hate him and you hate your neighbor. You're contrary to him. You're ungodly. And so therefore you're alienated from him. And his wrath lies upon you. His holy divine anger rests upon you. And there's only one person who can remove it from off of you. And that's Jesus Christ, his Son, sent into the world for that very purpose, that reason. To placate the wrath of God. Lift it from off you. The curse of God that lies upon the entirety of humanity because of man's departure from God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save, to rescue sinners, Newcastle sinners, the worst of you and the best of you. Yes, some of you, even the mockers, the sneerers and the jeerers, the religious kind and the irreligious kind. That is not what kind of a sinner it is that you are. You are a sinner and you need God's salvation. And it's found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. No salvation in Muhammad. No salvation in the Pope of Rome. No salvation in Buddha. No salvation in Confucius. Salvation found in Christ and Christ alone. There's no other Savior and no other way back to God from the dark path of sin. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way of escape given to you. Bible poses the question, how shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? Answer? Well, the Bible doesn't answer the question because the answer is logical. You neglect it, you won't be saved. Can't be saved. You must respond in faith. You must in faith call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you might be saved from the ungodly, from the lawlessness, iniquitous living. That's lawlessness. Contrary to God's law in your nature and in your practice. Ungodly, from man to a woman, that is all born into this world. And why God, in his grace and love, has provided this salvation. But then you need to hear about. No, I don't say want to hear about, but need to hear about. Because it's your only way of escape. Because there's a day of judgment coming. A day when God's going to judge all flesh. That day has been appointed, the Bible says. We're not told when it is, but we're told the day has been appointed in which God will judge all the whole world. every man, woman, and child born into this world. Stand before the judgment throne of God in that day, and you'll be judged for your ungodly, or your godly, whichever it be. If not saved by the grace of God, you'll be judged for your ungodly, your lawless living, even that very sinful nature that was passed on to you from your parents, from their parents, all the way back to the first man, to Adam, who brought sin and death into the world. To give account in that day, Jesus says, for every idle word that you speak, that will be a fearful and a dreadful day for the ungodly, I tell you. And why I come to tell you, if there was no day of judgment, if God loved everybody, if there was no issue, well then I could go home and sit at the fireside. But you're facing judgment under the wrath of God now, and one day, very soon, to face the unmitigated wrath of God in judgment, if by the grace of God you're not saved. You're not brought to faith. If somebody doesn't inform you, tell you the facts as they are, as God has recorded them for us in the Bible, revealed them to us, that they might be revealed to you, and that you might be warned to flee from the wrath to come, to get out of your ungodly state and condition. That's what love does. Love warns, don't you know? If your neighbor's house was on fire and they were asleep in their bed, what would you do if you loved them? Well, if you hated them, you would do nothing. You would just escape yourself. But if you loved them, well, you wouldn't just knock on the door. You would shout and scream and holler. You might even kick the door in and drag them out of the place. Well, that's what I'm here for today, because I love you. I'm here to drag you out of your ungodly house, and I'll try to at least anyway, and get you into Jesus Christ, because only He can save you from the fire of God's judgment soon to come. So I call you to repent of your ungodly. Call you to repent as Jesus does, to repent and believe the gospel in order that you might enter God's kingdom, and that you might be counted, as it were, amongst the godly in that day when God judges all men. But then, of course, well, it goes on to say that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Well, I mean, how could the ungodly possibly stand in the day of judgment without a covering for your sin? If your sin's never been treated, if you're still in your old nature, you know, if there's not a day when you stand before God in judgment, if there's not a day, a time in your history that you can point to and say, that's the day, that's the time when God came to me, to the preaching of the gospel, He came to me, and by His grace He changed me. I became a new creature. You see, that's all that matters to God, is that you're made a new creation. All the religion in the world won't make no difference. You might stand there and say, well, I went to church every Sunday. Yeah, I did this religious thing, I did that, you know, I bowed the knee to Allah or Muhammad, as he's called, you know, makes no difference. You've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your sin's not been treated by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've not been born again, if your very nature hasn't been changed, if you're not a new creature in Jesus Christ, in that day when God judges you, you won't be able to stand. You cannot stand. The ones who will stand in that day will be those whom Jesus Christ takes as His clients. That is, He's their advocate. He's their defense. He defends his own people, the godly, in the judgment, but the ungodly, they shall not stand. They'll be blown away like the chaff. You know, when the wheat is full grown, then the chaff falls away, and the farmer takes it and he throws it into the fire to be burned. Well, that's the ungodly in the day of judgment. Like chaff, you know, to be blown away in the wind of God's judgment and cast into the fires of hell.
Can't you tell us something about
that's
God's
the
love?
End. That's the end of your ungodly. And that's the end of your complaining, madam. Not be able to stand in the day of judgment, not unless Jesus is your advocate, not unless he has died for your sins. He didn't die for everybody's sins. He died for his sheep, my sheep, he said. They hear my voice, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. That's not everybody. Over against the sheep, there's the goats. The goats, he says, they don't hear my voice. They're stone deaf to the voice of the shepherd. They're deaf, they don't hear, they don't follow, they don't obey him, and so they don't get eternal life. But my sheep whom I died for, they, he says, hear my voice, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They won't perish in the judgment, but the ungodly shall. The ungodly will. They won't be able to stand because they won't have an advocate, they won't have a Savior who shed his blood for their sins. When Christ Jesus came into the world to save the ungodly, don't forget the good news. Christ died for the ungodly. Those who know themselves to be ungodly, convicted of their ungodly, turn from their ungodly, repent of their ungodly, and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, to save them from their ungodly. Christ died for such, that they might be saved, and that they might be able to stand in the judgment, in the day that is when God judges all men by his Son Jesus Christ. You see, in that day, we're even told who the judge will be. It will be Jesus. Dreadful, dreadful judge Jesus. Today he's the Lamb of God who would take your sin away, who would take the ungodly away. Today, the Lamb of God who shed his blood on that cross, the sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God slain on that cross for sinners. Oh, today he would wash you and make you clean, treat your sin once and for all, bring forgiveness to you, reconciliation to God. But in that day when he judges you, he won't be offering you forgiveness then. A dreadful, dreadful judge, a dreadful day when he will cast you from his presence forever. So now, says God, is the time. Now is the day of salvation, a day, yes, of grace, in which men and women may yet be reconciled to God. But that day is far spent. It's close to midnight. There's not much time left. The day is coming. The day is coming when the trumpet shall sound and the Son of God shall arrive from heaven once again, but this time to judge the world in perfect righteousness, even you, for you're ungodly. Unless that is Christ, unless God by his grace saves you, Jesus Christ washes you and makes you clean. So the ungodly, he says, they won't stand in the judgment. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, he assures us, their way will perish. Why? Because their way is contrary to God. Because their way is contrary to God's will. Their way is contrary to God's love. Contrary to God's law. Contrary to God every which way. That's why the way of the ungodly perish. They're perishing now. Some of you perishing in your mind. Broken mind. Some of you in broken body. Perishing now. Physically, mentally. But one day to perish eternally. Unless you're saved. Unless you're brought, that is, into the way of salvation. But the way of the ungodly, it shall perish. Because it's not God's way. It's contrary to God. But I tell you that you need saving. Maybe you would ask the question, what is it I need saving from? It's from God. It's from God. It's Him you've offended. It's His love, His law that you've offended. And it's to Him that you need to be reconciled. So repentance is required of you, of your way, your ungodly way. Repentance towards God, that is, whom you have offended, and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ, who alone can save you from your ungodly way. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's no question shall. There's no question about it. Your ungodly living. I mean, look at your nation. Look at your nation. Once what you might have called a godly nation. But look at you now. You're invaded with heathen religion. Every part of your society is broken. In the sphere of politics, the health service, the judiciary, the police. Every department of your nation is broken. And all your politicians together, it doesn't matter who you put in Downing Street, all of them together can't put your nation back together again. You're perishing. You're perishing because you're in the way of the ungodly. And the ungodly shall perish in their way. That's why your nation's perishing. The problem's not political. The problem's not economic. The problem's theological. It's your departure from God. It's your apostasy. It's your godlessness. It's your ungodly. And you're going down and sinking fast. It's down and down. And the end of it is the pit of hell. Is eternal darkness forever. Unless you're saved from your ungodly. Unless God by His grace. And that's not everybody, I have to tell you. He's not gracious to everybody. He has His own people whom He calls by the preaching of the gospel. This that I'm doing here today, foolishness perhaps to you in your ungodly, but my friends, it's the means by which God has ordained to save those whom He will save. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe He's calling you apart from your ungodly. Calling you apart from your ungodly way. Calling you out from your perishing in your sin even now. Calling, calling, calling. Who knows? Hear the voice of Jesus calling you apart from your sin. From the sin-cursed and darkened world into His marvelous light. Who knows, maybe once, maybe perhaps not any at all, but it matters not. In that day, God will be vindicated. In that day, God's truth will be vindicated. In that day, you won't stand before God and say that you weren't warned, that you weren't told. I'm warning you. I'm telling you now. Flee the wrath to come into the arms of Jesus, the only Savior of sinners, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who came, lived and loved and died, rose again from the dead, and by his resurrection, God has given notice that he's going to judge the world. And in that day when he judges you, you won't stand. The way of the ungodly will perish, and perish for all eternity in the flames and the fires of hell. The damnation of hell awaits you. I wonder that this generation, I wonder that you can't smell the sulfur already. I wonder that you can't feel the flames licking at your feet already. The damnation of hell, the unquenchable fires of hell licking at your feet now of this generation. Warn you, flee. The wrath to come, the present wrath of God even, and the wrath to come. Ungodly shall not perish. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to save the ungodly, save you from your wretchedness, your brokenness. Came to save, came to rescue. That's what he does. He's good at what he does, you know. He doesn't turn anybody away. He assures us that he will not, any who come to him, he will not cast out. Never yet turned a sinner who came to him sincerely in the way of repentance and faith. Never yet turned one away. Would not turn you away should you come today without delay. But the time is short, the Bible tells me so. And I tell you so. The time is short. I mean, who knows? Maybe somebody under the sound of my voice here today, and this is your last call, last time that you hear the overtures of God's love. Maybe the last time you hear the voice of Jesus calling you apart. Maybe, perhaps, I don't know. More solemnly, perhaps, maybe this is your very last day. That day comes, you know, when you put your socks on in the morning, but you don't take them off at night. The undertaker takes them off.
Yeah.
So many people, you know, unprepared for that day. Even you, are you ready for it? It's appointed, don't you know? Divinely appointed unto man once to die. After that, end the story? No, that's what you like to think. That's the scary story of Darwin. And the stupid dog, Dawkins. No, my friends, that's not how it is. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, then comes the judgment. Then you stand before God, and you give account, mister. Give account in that day for your ungodly.
God.
So repent. Repent today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while you may. Time is short. Judgment day is coming. God is calling. Jesus Christ is lifted up amongst you that you might be saved from your ungodly, from your wretched life, from your misery and sin. The way of the ungodly is a way of misery. The ungodly shall perish in their way. says God. It's a way of total, utter, absolute misery. But blessed, happy, joyful is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly. Joy belongs to them, not just happiness. Happiness is what the world gives you. It doesn't last for 5 minutes. It soon evaporates. Joy is something that Jesus gives you. Only Jesus can give you. And it comes from knowing that He's forgiven you your every sin, your ungodly, and that He has given to you eternal life, and you shall never perish. That's where joy comes from. A joy, says Jesus, that no man can take away from you once I've given it to you. So living He loved, dying He saved, buried He carried sin far away, rising He justified freely. And one day He's coming, oh glorious day, for the godly that is, but not the ungodly, a dreadful day for them. So get godly. Get out of your ungodly. Repent of it. Turn from it. Turn. Turn, ye said to the Lord. Why will ye die in your sin? When you can have life eternal, everlasting. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. A wonderful Savior, I tell you. Love and life and lasting joy found, Lord Jesus, in Thee and in Thee alone. Blessed, I tell you, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Today, Newcastle sinners, on whatever kind, religious or irreligious, sinners to a man, to a woman, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's God's testimony, not mine. My opinion is no more valuable than yours. This is God's opinion. He doesn't ask for ours. He just gives us His. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ungodly by nature, by practice, alienated from God by your ungodly. But a way out of it, a way by which you can be saved, redeemed, a way by which you can be brought back to God. I am that way, says Jesus. And no man cometh unto the Father, no one gets right with God, that is, but by Me. None other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Newcastle, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's God's admonition with a promise. The Lord Jesus Christ, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the only way you can enter God's kingdom, in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. So repent ye and believe. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye. Repent ye. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. If you'd like to have a copy of God's word, muse, meditate upon these things for yourself. See that they are so according to God's word. Offer to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. If you'd like one, you feel free to come and ask for one. May God bless you, Newcastle, and have mercy, I say, upon your flesh, never dying souls.